Scottish folk singer Jim Malcolm was just wrapping up his annual winter concert tour of the U.S. West Coast as we started to hear that a deadly new virus was starting to spread around the world. Just a few weeks before the global pandemic was declared, he brought his wife Susie along to perform with him. They enjoyed road tripping to concert venues from Southern California to the familiar rains of the Pacific Northwest. Jim and Susie wrapped up their tour with a visit to Our Travel with Rick Steves Studios, just a few blocks from Puget Sound, just a couple weeks before we all had to lock down and wonder what's next. Jim Malcolm defines what it is to be a Scottish troubadour today. He tours frequently to perform his original folk and acoustic songs that often speak of events and emotions coming from Scottish history. All Jim needs is his guitar and a harmonica to engage listeners in a journey into the heather-covered hills of Scotland. And lately, he's been touring and recording with his wife and manager, Susie. Jim and Susie Malcolm join us now in our studio for a wee dram of Scotland and its traditional music. Susie, Jim, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Oh, it's great to be back. Thank you.
Jim, how would you describe your music?
Scottish folk music. I think that would be... I'm fairly straight up and down. I write original songs, but I also play songs that are hundreds and hundreds of years old. Lots of Robert Burns songs, even older songs than that. There's always been a real interest in both the tradition and innovation in the folk scene in Scotland.
Now, Susie, I've travelled a lot in Scotland and in Ireland, and Irish trad is a little more in the forefront when you're travelling in Ireland than it is in Scotland. But whenever I stumble into Scottish traditional folk music, it's a magical evening. How is Scottish and Irish folk music and the tradition different?
I think the biggest difference really is that it's easier to find Irish folk and traditional music in the pubs in Ireland. There are just more pubs where it's happening. And in fact, it is happening. There are sessions happening all over Scotland. But there's no very easy way to find it unless you're in Glasgow or Edinburgh, where you should be able to find traditional music.
If you're in Glasgow, you just go to the West End, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing there. Is that what it's called, that part of Glasgow with the music pubs, the West End?
Yeah. Almost every part of Scotland has good folk sessions, but it tends to be a Thursday night here, and then it'll be a Tuesday night over there, and we do this on a Monday night down here.
So you need some, when you check into your bed and breakfast or your hotel, you can ask, where might I find some
absolutely
folk music?
Yeah, and some of the things have been going on for 50 years, you know, I mean, it's these sessions, it's really very regular.
Speaking of long traditions, you go to Edinburgh and there's these music pubs that are just, they've been there forever.
Yes,
I mean, it's just, that's where you go. Whistle Binkies or...
Absolutely, yes.
What are some of the big names in...
The Royal Oak, and probably the most famous of all, which is called Sandy Bells.
I love Sandy Bells. And there you get, it's a little farther walk from the Royal Mile, so there's less tourist and a local crowd.
Yes, it's right in the heart of the university part of the city. And there's always been a lot of... academics and you know, graduates and postgraduates and all kinds of people who just sort of call into that place. And you can end up having a session with some Celtic superstar, you know, just at the drop
of
a hat.
That's the beauty thing. That's the wonderful thing about traditional folk music. You know, Susie, I was just in Glasgow filming a show and we went to a pub and I was all excited because there was going to be traditional folk music and the band was there and they're playing great. And I started talking to the people in the band, and one was from England, one was from Wales, one was from Ireland, and one was from Scotland. And I think there was somebody from the continent. And I was disappointed. And they say, no, this is today's Scottish folk music. Is there an international sort of fusion going on, or is there a pure kind of, this is Scottish musicians?
All I could think of to say about that is that every night is different.
Right.
And certainly the music pulls people together. And for whatever reason, some people will fall in love with Scottish traditional tunes and they'll want to play Scottish traditional tunes and it won't matter where they came from. And they are different from Irish traditional tunes. They sound different and eventually you'll tune in and you'll say, oh, that's an Irish tune. Oh, that's a Scottish tune. And I think it's the music that pulls people together. But I wouldn't have thought that that was typical to go into a Glasgow pub and find, you know, a small number of people all from different nations.
Yeah, because that was pretty striking to me, because normally you'd expect people have deep roots in Scotland when they're singing their traditional music. You've just been on a tour of the West Coast. And Jim, how's that been going?
It's been tremendous. We really had a lovely trip. This is the first time that Susie has been performing with me. We're now empty nesters.
Ah, okay.
So this has been the first time that Susie has really been able to travel with me.
On this trip, was there a particular song you've enjoyed playing or that's been resonating with people well? Or I'd like to just hear a little. I know Susie and you harmonize beautifully.
Yeah, well, maybe
give a little dose of what you've been sharing on the West Coast here.
Let's do a little bit of Aphon Kiss. Lovely, romantic. But we were singing this on Valentine's night. So this is sort of straight from that category. Aphon Kiss, and then we sever. A farewell, and then forever. Deep in heart-wrung tears, I'll pledge thee. Warring sighs and groans, I'll wage thee. Shall say that fortune grieves him, while the star of hope she leaves him. Me nay cheerful twinkle lights me, dark despair around benights me. Had we never loved, say kindly, had we never loved, say blindly, never met or never parted, we had never been first and fairest. Fare thee well, thou best and dearest. Thine be ilka joy and treasure. Peace, enjoyment, love and pleasure. Aphon Kiss, and then we sever. A farewell, alas, forever. Deep in heart-wrung tears, I'll pledge thee. Warring sighs and groans, I'll wait.
You know, we're just sitting here in a pretty sterile studio, but I closed my eyes and I found myself inhaling for some reason. I was just breathing in. And then I thought, and now I would take a sip of that beer and I would be I would be completely engulfed in the ambience of that beautiful Scottish pub. That's a, there's a special, magic is kind of a silly word, but there's a sort of a special atmosphere in a pub when the music's right and the company's right and the is right, you know.
It's very dangerous.
I think it is dangerous. I think it is dangerous, and I love that kind of danger. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're exploring the folk music of Scotland with Jim and Susie Malcolm right now. There are special guests. Jim has been a troubadour, folk musician, ever since graduating from Edinburgh University. He's recorded more than 50 of his original songs, some of which are based on the poetry of the Scottish bard Robert Burns. You might recognize Jim's voice from when he sang with the band Old Blind Dogs for more than 8 years. And he's been nominated more times than anyone else for Scots Singer of the Year. Lately, Jim's been recording duets with his wife Susie, and their latest album is called The Berries. Jim's website is jimmalcolm.com. Jim, that was a straight-out love song. Is there a hard history of Scotland that comes across in the lyrics in Scottish music a lot?
That's kind of almost the archetypal love song of Scotland. There's only one more famous love song, and that is My Love is Like a Red, Red Rose, again by Burns. But Burns wrote an incredible amount of songs about an incredible amount of things. Politics, you know, society, relationships, historical things, all kinds of stuff. And he really set a very high bar. And since then, Scottish songwriters and musicians have explored all kinds of elements of our culture and our history. And politically, there's a great deal of protest songs in Scotland, there's everything.
You know, Susie, one of my, the powerful moments for me with Irish traditional music is lament. Is the lament part of Scottish tradition?
Oh, yes. We really love a very sad song. We have some beautiful laments.
A lament would be a cappella by definition, isn't it? Or without music or not? I don't know. I mean, without accompaniment, without an instrument.
Yeah. There are laments played on the pipes, laments played on fiddle. There are songs which are laments.
Mm-hmm. What's the lament that you like?
We could do a Fiddle and Bow, which is I wrote some lyrics to probably the most famous lament, which is called Neil Gow's Lament on the Death of His Second Wife. Neil Gow's Lament on the Death of His Second Wife, which is quite
a long title for a sad, sad theme. But yes. I mean, I've got this moment when, you know, you've got this session and the drums are going and the guitar and the fiddles, and then it's quiet. And a woman sings a solo.
Yes.
Now, is that, would that be your lament moment, or is that, what is that?
Yes, and it's a sort of change of energy, really, in a session.
Huge change, almost intentional. It's like like calculated to really just send you.
There was a very good chap called Danny Kyle, who's sadly passed away, but he was brilliant at bringing out musicians in a session and saying, right, you shut up for a while and you sing, you know, and he would just create this wonderful sort of stress and release and wonderful feelings.
I also think that's part of what makes a session magical. It's usually the case that the lead person playing shifts maybe every tune to another fiddler or a singer. Yeah. And and I think everyone in the room is aware of that beautiful ebb and flow that happens in a good session. If you're thinking, oh, that was a rockin' reel, that was a brilliant reel, right, now I'm going to sing a lament.
And that the baton will pass from one musician to the next. And I bet there's a chemistry and a collaboration and a creativity that the musicians are intimately involved in that the casual person in the pub would be enjoying but not really get. What's happening? Give us when you're in the middle of it all, I get a sense that that's the session. I mean, a lot of people haven't played together before. They're getting to know each other musically. It's ad lib. You're going down different paths.
I think if you were just to sit in a pub and study the musicians, you would notice that the lead musician is changing. Right. And so maybe the next person's going to play in a different key. And it just changes the mood entirely.
And probably sometimes it works and sometimes it's not it doesn't quite work so well.
Well, you know,
the chemistry there, the musical chemistry.
When the background of the thing is that everybody's drinking nice beer and having a good time, and sometimes chatting to people, so they're not really listening.
It
has a real changing energy level throughout the whole room, and I've rarely really been in a session that wasn't working on some level.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's so, as a tourist, as a traveler, this is what I do, is I, you know, help people travel, and we're just pretty much voyeurs in a lot of cases.
Mm-hmm.
One opportunity to really connect with a culture is enjoying a session in a pub in Scotland. Part of it might be the beer, part of it might be the welcome you get, but you know, you're right there. You're not, you don't feel like a tourist anymore. You make friends, you're in real conversations. The music engulfs everybody, and it's a huge opportunity to have great travel experience when you're in Scotland.
Also, Rick, it's an opportunity for you to do something as well, because if you've got a song to sing, then you can just say, excuse me, can I sing a song now? And they'll go, yeah, absolutely. And then you'll sing your song, and you'll probably get a huge round of applause, and somebody will buy you a drink, and...
That's so true.
Yeah. You got to get out. After dinner, you got to go to find a pub. I think some of it is, to a certain degree, the tourism is helping keep it alive with the business it brings and everything. You go to Inverness, there's always a couple of pubs going on with great music, and half the people there are tourists.
I think Scotland's finally waking up to how important that is and how helpful it will be to our tourist industry if we can... better advertise where the sessions are happening. I don't mean in Edinburgh and Glasgow, because they're quite easy, but outside of those cities, there are great pubs now in Inverness, and I think we need to roll out that model across Scotland so that people can reliably find the music. And I completely agree with you about how that sort of, you find the heart and soul of Scotland in a pub.
You do. Now, have you guys performed at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival?
Yes.
Tell me what that's like, because I mean, you got the formal festival.
Yes,
but the Fringe Festival is more of a festival.
It's enormous.
Yeah.
It's enormous, and there are something like 1,000 different shows on a day.
Yeah,
and a lot of them are done by student groups, and they're out in the streets, sort of touting and trying to get people to come to their shows, and they'll sort of.
Sometimes it feels like there's more musicians than there are audience, and it's a fun-loving atmosphere, and it's just like, let's celebrate all this music and creativity.
And not just that. I mean, you can go to sort of formal shows, but the quality of the street theatre during the festival is so high. You can actually just go and enjoy people playing in the street.
I was like a little kid in a pinball machine, bouncing from one great act to the next. Yeah. It was just, there was stuff combusting everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
All you need is a hotel or a bed somewhere, and you can enjoy the festival for many days.
And it's had a very, very important role in comedy in Britain. The Edinburgh Festival is where all the great British comedians have cut their teeth.
We've got more with Jim and Susie Malcolm in just a moment, and we'll hear about some of the eccentric traditions their cousins in England get up to from time to time. You'll find more about our guests online at ricksteves.com/radio.